leadership team, thank you. Hallelujah. Let's say we are mabane. I don't know about you, but for me, let's say we are mabane. The devil is under our feet. I don't know what he's throwing at you today, but do you know that the love of God is greater than anything that the devil can throw at you? I really hope you know that truth. Because you know, sometimes in church, we just get so excited about singing. Is that truth entering your heart? I'm here to encourage you this afternoon. Trust in God when life gets hard. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. From the bottom of our hearts, Lord, for your love. Your love that is perfect. Your amazing love. Your unconditional love, Lord, for us. That no matter what, Father, you promise you never leave us nor forsake us. Father, we are ready to receive from you this afternoon. Speak to us, Lord. Father, I submit myself to the leading of the Holy Spirit this afternoon. Take all the glory, Father. Do what you want to do in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm already sweating. Don't mind me. It's part of life right now. We just sweat it away. We sing as we sweat, right? Pastor Haley, again, I love you. We love you. It's amazing to have her back, right? This time last year, she was not with us. She talked about her journey with cancer. You know, yesterday, mid-morning, we met, and I was saying to her, I actually saw you with no hair. You only had a little bit at the back here. But she's back, looking beautiful. Thank you. Thank you for your obedience. Thank you for your love for the women. Amen. Thank you for listening to God. So like I said, I'm here to encourage a sister this afternoon. Trust in God when life gets hard. We are living in times when life is hard. I think many of you here can agree with me. I want to start by reading from Nahum chapter 1 verse 7. It says, "The Lord is good, a strong refuge when trouble comes." Not if trouble comes. When trouble comes, he is close to those who trust in him. We all go through tough times, right? Just as the good, happy, and joyous times of life are part of life, so are the difficult, hard, and dark times. Now, the truth of that matter is that no one is exempt from troubles and challenges during the course of life. So if you think that because I'm a Christian, I shouldn't be going through this, then you need to read the Bible more. You may be here and you're going through a storm at this moment. I don't know what storm it is. It could be a storm in your marriage. Your husband has abandoned you. There's infighting in the house. Even as you sit here wearing your bling t-shirt, things are happening in your heart. And when you go back home, you find him. You find him. Storms in your marriage. It could be a storm at your workplace, in your business. A storm in your relationships. Both Pastor Haley and Sarah this morning touched on family, relationships. You know, there are many women, mothers who are crying over their children. We heard a lot about parenting. It's important. That is vital. That's why we need to get serious about our parenting. What are we doing with our children? Because you know what? The devil is after our children, especially the teenagers. The devil has bound so many children in the chains of drugs, alcohol. You know, nowadays you see those youngsters moving around. There's even a name for them, Atifima junkies. And you could be sitting here and your child, your son is called a junkie, and you don't know what to do. You're going through some dark time in your life. Sexual immorality among children. And actually, like, Sarah touched on something in the morning, and I just remembered, I got home last night, just before 23 hours, and I found my husband was up, because he couldn't sleep until I got home. So, yes, my Boaz. Yeah. And you know, when I got in bed, it's like within 5 minutes he was snoring. Anyway, I got home safe. And before I got in bed, he just began to tell me a very sad story about somebody who is quite close to us. They actually work for us. She's a single mom. And she'd sent her 7-year-old daughter to visit her aunt. The 7-year-old's dad's sister, out of Lusaka. They were there on holiday, and they got sexually abused by a 14-year-old relative. And right now, the mother is beside herself. She's in pain. A few weeks ago, she was even contemplating suicide. They took the child, examined the child at the hospital, and they found that the child had been sexually abused. We need to take parenting seriously, my sisters. The devil is after our children. What are we doing? We heard today, even yesterday, we're busy running our lives. You call yourself a Christian. How many times do you pray for your children? How much time do you spend talking to your children, investing life in your children? And you know, one day we'll stand accountable before God. He will ask us, because the Bible says, children are a gift from him. What are you doing with that gift? So many children are in depression. You think depression is only for adults? Kids are depressed. You find that it's like there's no life in them. Depression. On medication for depression. Suicidal. Teenagers cutting themselves. Right there in your home. And you don't know what's going on. Homosexuality. It's very rampant in our country. Yes, again, we heard those days we just used to read about it. It was like something that happened out there. Now it's there in our homes. What are we doing? Trusting God when life gets hard. Or it could be a storm in your health. You've received some very bad news. This cancer. You've got this incurable disease. Or is it your finances? You go around and all you hear, the economy. At Mealy Meals, how much? People are crying. Hard times are not pleasant, right? They are not comfortable. Hard times can sometimes be even life-threatening. And you know, one thing I've come to learn is hard times can either destroy you or they can develop you. We like running away from trials. But God can use hard times and trials in our lives to develop us. But what is your choice? Hard times can make you or they can break you. They can build your strength. They can bring about wisdom, knowledge, understanding, commitment, devotion. Hard times can build your faith. Hard times can bring peace that surpasses all understanding. How else will you know the peace that surpasses understanding if there is no trouble in your life? You actually think everything is okay. This is how life is supposed to be. Hard times can bring joy when you choose to lean into the word of God. Nehemiah talks about the joy of the Lord being our strength. When you have the joy of the Lord bubbling inside of you, no matter what's going on out there. No, not like, you know, Tarisai was like, you know, I go to Jesus. Oh, Jesus, you know. A lot of us like going to God like that. When you are going through tough times, you find yourself going before him, dancing through your pain, dancing and singing, giving thanks to the Lord through your grief, through your sorrow. Hard times brings maturity and tenacity. Let's look at what James says. I know many of us don't maybe enjoy this scripture. James chapter 1, verse 2 to 4. The Message Bible says, consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, you know we are women here, we cook, pressure cooker, under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and it shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Stay in there. Let it do its work so you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. Amen? The wonderful thing that we can know is that during hard times, the Lord is with us. And this is what I want to encourage you. The Lord is with us because he's promised in his word that he will never abandon us. He offers us himself as a refuge. You know, I love this word, refuge. I remember in 2012 when my husband was almost dying and he was in the hospital. And this scripture, I think it's Psalms 46. Sorry, it's just coming into my... I don't have it up there. And I personalized this scripture. I would get up early in the morning and I would be pacing up and down the corridors. And people would think that maybe, you know, you're just stretching your legs. For me, it was a time to pray. Around 2, 3, I'm thanking God. I personalize this scripture every day. Lord, you are my refuge. You are my strength. Even right now, in this time of trouble, I know that you are with me. God undertakes to be close to us as we trust him while we are passing through the valley. Now, you know, hard times can be as a result of many different reasons or causes. But the answer is only one. The answer is Jesus. Yes, we know we have an enemy. The devil brings attacks. Life happens. But sometimes we cause the hard times, the storms in our lives. The choices we make. You may be going through something very hard because of the choices that you made. And let me just stop here and maybe just kind of quickly talk about this. I like what Sarah was really bringing out this morning about us, you know, in Zambia, women in Zambia. You know, all that yucky stuff, as Pastor Haley likes saying. Yucky stuff, the drinking and everything. But you know, there's something that God was just ministering to me about. Inkongole. Pastor Haley, Inkongole is debt. Debt. And you may be sitting here. You've borrowed from so many people. Why are you borrowing? For what? The village banking. There are stories here, right? And I know people come up with these ideas to help one another, right? And we mess up. Village banking. Please, when you go home, go and sit down and start asking yourself, why am I doing village banking? Or go and start writing down the people that you owe and start answering those phone calls. Stop running away. And then you come to Living Free, you even see them. Achabo, you even pretend. You go somewhere else like you're so busy. Like you're talking in tongues. Huh? And the next session, because you know they are sitting this side, you go and sit there. Isaiah 43 verse 2. God says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Isaiah 54. Do I have this here? Isaiah 54, verse 10 says, though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. God has given us his promise. When you go through hard times, I am there. When things are not working out in your life, where do you run to? Is the first thing that you do is you pick up the phone? You're trying to find out, where can I go and who can I talk to? Who can, you know, get me into their village banking so that, you know, I can get hold of the money? Or who will I sleep with that is going to give me some money? Listen to what Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world, you have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration. Listen to that. In the world, you have tribulation, trials, distress and frustration, but be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident, certain, and daunted, for I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you, and I have conquered it for you. Amen. Amen. I started looking at the meanings just from the dictionary of these words. Tribulation, a state of great trouble or suffering, a trying experience. And trials, the state of being tried or tempted, exposure to suffering that tests strength and patience. What is distress? Extreme anxiety, sorrow, or pain. Are you relating to some of these things? Frustrations, the feeling of being upset or annoyed as a result of being unable to change or achieve something. You know, I want to share something personal. Revelation talks about they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, right? We testify to encourage someone. Last year, we're talking about living free. Last year, Pastor Haley was not here. I came back from the States, and we had a wonderful time. For those who were here, it was an amazing time. And in October, my husband and I decided to go to India for just checkup. He was having some issues with prostate, you know, as a man. And when we got there, well, I had some issues as well. And I needed to have a hysterectomy where they remove your uterus. They remove my uterus and my ovaries, everything, okay? I'm okay, all right? You're all so quiet and, you know. 10 days later, my husband went into hospital and he had surgery for 12 hours. They found he had cancer in his prostate. Many of you know the story. And he had a tumor in the colon. And initially, when we asked how long the surgery was going to take, they said, well, about five and a half hours. But it took 12 hours. My daughters came, and I was so, so thankful for that. And I remember I sat with them. Tinashe from America didn't even see her dad. The day she arrived, he had gone into theater. And I sat with them the whole day. Until about 18 hours, I just said to them, you know what, go back to the hotel, go and rest. They really resisted. But I said, look, even when your dad comes out, you won't be able to see him. He's going to go straight into ICU and you're not allowed. And still there was so much restriction because of COVID then. And they went and I was left alone. And I remember like 2 hours later, I sat. And I began to feel fear, anxiety. You know, you're just wondering, what's happening? They said 5 hours. Now you begin to count. And the waiting room there they have by the theater is not so big. There are just like maybe 7 chairs. And there are quite a number of us in there. And I remember because all they do is because we didn't have a local number, so they couldn't get in touch with us to tell us what was going on. So all we had was just to look at the screens where you just see the ID number of your patient. And I just kept on looking at the screen. And the more I looked at that screen, the anxiety was growing, the fear. Will he come out alive? That was my main fear. Until I just, you know, as I sat down with my mask on, I just heard God say, stop looking at that screen. Begin to focus on me. I am the author and the finisher of your faith. And it's not over yet. He began to speak to me, to encourage me as I sat there. It's not over yet. I'm still at work. Man has his own program. My program is still there. I'm still at work. I got so encouraged. And you know what I normally do is when I'm sitting down, I begin to shake my legs because I'm getting so excited. I stood up and under my mask, I just began to thank God and praise him, you know, in tongues. And just that fear began to lift. It began to lift. The anxiety began to lift. My husband came out later, much later, 12 hours. He was taken into ICU. The following day, 11 in the morning, when I went in to see him, he was sitting down. I was taken aback. I was like, you were in theater 12 hours and you're sitting. Are you okay? Then he goes, actually, I've even done a round. I went walking. It was a miracle. Even when you go through the rivers and the fire, I am there with you. A state of great trouble, a trying experience. The state of being tried or tempted, exposure to suffering that tests strength and patience. From November, when we both had surgery, and you know when he was in the hospital, I was just recovering as well. It was a great test. A test of your love for your husband. You say in my language, na iwe file karipa. You are also hurting. He needs your attention. He needs your help. He's so helpless. And you know, sometimes you're so tired. What do you do under pressure? The Bible says, your faith life will be exposed under pressure. What do? We call ourselves women of God. Yes, when we come in a place like this, yes, we are a woman of God. Let us come to your home. Are you a woman of God who attends Living Free? 8 years you've been coming. When there's pressure, what do you succumb to? Is it fear? Is it anxiety? Even when fear comes, what do you do with that fear? When you're desperate. You know, hard times produce different things in our lives. And as Christian women, I want just to quickly talk about our attitudes, our behavior, our speech. Who are you? As a Christian woman, there are many times when life happens, yes, because maybe your husband doesn't have a job. We heard today you could be the breadwinner, or maybe you're not even the breadwinner and both of you are not working. I don't know, I just feel this just to encourage someone. There's no food in the house, inside a shirt tamper, from a woman of God. That is insults. When you curse out your husband, what do you say? Even when you find out your husband is having an affair, and you know, I'm not talking like this because I'm condoning irresponsibility and immorality, no. But what do? When there's pressure, when there's that anger. I want to read some scriptures from Colossians. From the Message Bible, this is really good. And it talks about feelings again. So feelings are coming up. Your old life is dead, starting from verse 3. Your new life, which is your real life, even though invisible to spectators, is with Christ in God. He is your life. Can you say that? That God is my life? When Christ, your real life, remember, shows up again on this earth, you show up too, the real you, the glorious you. Meanwhile, excuse me, be content with obscurity like Christ. And that means killing off everything connected with that way of death. Sexual promiscuity again. How many times are we going to talk about sexual promiscuity? And it's like every time it comes up, we don't plan. We don't check each other's notes. So it's always amazing how these things come up because God is saying something. How long, as you sit there, you know what's going on in your life? What do you need to hear? Why are our hearts so hardened until they become so calloused? Sexual immorality is just something that just goes. Aren't you tired? That man who leaves his wife and he comes and sleeps with you and he leaves you. When, you know, others around you, they've got their own husbands. And you know, I love that question that was posed. You even have a friend who's living that immoral life. What are you doing about it? Are you a safe friend, a loving friend that will say to your friend, no, you need to stop this. This is going to destroy your life. We need to keep each other accountable. But no kushindika, nifo tushindika. We escort our friend for that sinning, for that immorality. We even go to, is it Mandahill, East Park, these nice places, you are sipping on drinks. Even drunkenness. You know what? I was just thinking about this. You know, tule ufa kwensoni. We need to feel, oh gosh, how can I say it? To be named as a nation where women are out drinking men. That is so shameful. These things should not even be discussed among us. Let's begin to talk about growth. Then why are we having Living Free every year? Is it just to come and have an event where we put on our t-shirts, we line up for some chicken and rice, we hang out, we get our badges? How is your life? Sexual promiscuity, impurity, lust, doing whatever you feel, whenever you feel like it. Just being led by our feelings. And when people call you out, you are judging me. Why are you angry? You know what? Instead of rushing to get angry sometimes, why don't we just stop and ask ourselves, why did this come out? Lord, why did my sister talk to me like that? Is there anything that you're trying to say to me? But we're so quick to feel like people are judging us. We get so angry. That's why you find so many Christians who are offended. And grabbing whatever attracts your fancy. That's life shaped by things and feelings. We heard all about feelings last night instead of by God. It's because of this kind of thing that God is about to explode in anger. It wasn't long ago that you were doing all that stuff and not knowing any better. But you know better now. So make sure it's all gone for good. This is the Bible. This is not me. Bad temper. Irritability. Ah, that one just irritates me. You know these things that irritate. You are so irritable. Eh? Irritable. Huh? Irritated and frustration. You know what? I've shared with a sister or two. I said, there was the time I was just going through stuff. I'd gone through so much. I was tired emotionally. Oh my goodness. It's been rough. It's been a hard time for us as a family. And so my mental state, my emotions, physically I was tired. And there was a day I was cleaning the toilet. It was messy. Okay? I won't go into detail. So I'm cleaning the toilet.
with the brush. Irritated, frustrated, angry. And God rebuked me as I cleaned that toilet. Why the attitude? Why? I'm cleaning my own toilet. Why the attitude? What irritates us? Hard times we expose our faith life. Meanness. Yeah, a woman can be mean. Was it a few weeks ago? I was appalled when I saw this on news. That woman who burnt her son because apparently it's told he stole a piece of chicken. So she gets him and she puts both his hands in the pot of chicken and she runs away. First of all, she's just such a coward. You want to cook your son's hands. And the neighbor was by the bedside. That's being so mean. Let's check our hearts. When life becomes hard, who are you? Or the other story, yes. That little child. I don't know the story now. That lady, that was a stepchild, right? That's horrible. That's wickedness. That little boy was so beaten up. Profanity, dirty talk. Banamayo msalula mayanda. Let me just say it like that in my language. It comes out well. Insele okutukaba lume. You bring your husband down to nothing, you undress him because of problems. You know, in the Bible, I just remember now that story of a woman called Abigail. She was married to a fool, right? But she was a woman of wisdom. What does James say? Is anyone lacking wisdom? What do we do? We just ask. Are we asking for wisdom? How many of us go before God, Father, I can't deal with this. Help me. Because God has promised us. He will show us the way. He says in Psalms 32 verse 8, I will instruct you. I will show you. I will guide you. Do we go to God with our problems? Profanity and dirty talk. Who are we when we go through hard times? God has promised us. He's always with us. Are we seeking help from him? Looking to him? I have experienced the love of God like never before in these past few months. You know, in February, I was actually teaching at Rhema. And I didn't finish teaching the first year class. Pastor Haley took over kindly because we had to rush back to India. You know, when he says, when you go through tough times, I'm with you, that's his promise. My husband, you know, those of you who know my husband, he's not a big man. He had lost 15 kilos. He was so sick. And I remember when family escorted us at the airport, people were crying because it seemed like there was no hope really. And I went with him alone. And I remember, again, these waves of anxiety and fear that would just come and sweep over me. There was one moment when we were on the plane. He was lying down, sleeping. And I looked over at him and, you know, I got up, I touched him because I thought, is he alive? When we got to India, we went to see the doctor. And the doctor, first of all, was like shocked, like, what happened to you? He examined him just quickly. And he came back and told us some very upsetting news, fearful news, like, it seems this cancer was not dealt with, and you've got a very big tumor in the back, and I need you in the hospital like now, because I need to find out what type of cancer it is. We need to do a biopsy, and you need to do an MRI and a PET scan for us to also just check how far your cancer has spread. We went back to the hotel because there was no room for us that day. And I remember getting back and I said to him, you know what? We're not going to phone anybody right now. We're going to pray. We're going to look to God. God says, have faith in God. Have faith in me. When you are faced with situations that are so hard, where is your faith? Who are you trusting in? You know, we got a room and the following day we got a room and that was on a Tuesday. And on Wednesday, my husband was taken into theater. It took only like an hour or so. And in the afternoon, so the doctor comes in with his team and he says, I've got, you know the way doctors are, both good news and bad news. And okay, I'll start with the good news. I don't know what happened, Mr. and Mrs. Boucher, but you know that cancer, that tumor that I felt in the back, I don't know what happened, it's just not there. And my husband just, you know what, he just lifted his hands and he said, God, my God has done it. This is a Hindu doctor. My God has done it. I just sat there and just began to thank God. He went for an MRI, came out. The results came back negative. The PET scan, there were no cancer cells. And you know, when going, amen. That is our Heavenly Father. We had booked to stay there for at least 3 months. We only stayed for 2 weeks. And the 2 weeks is because we just decided, okay, let's take like 5-6 days just to rest. And then we'll head back. Because every time we'd go, he's always on a wheelchair, you know. And when we came back, I remember my maid coming out, oh, madam, you are bossy. He got out. Still kind of frail, but he got out on his own. And he walked into the house. God is good, my sisters. Learn to trust him when life gets hard. Learn to trust him. Hold on to his word. We went back. We've been there 3 times. And we are back tomorrow. We're going back to India tomorrow. The third time when we went back, they were really working on him. Again, they told us 3 hours in theater and it took 8 hours. And I remember this time now because I was alone. My daughters were not there. You know what I did? I just felt this nudge. I just became my crazy self. I went back to the room. I didn't want to sit in there waiting, just being anxious. I just got some music. I put my headphones on because I'm saying to myself, I'm in the hospital. And if they hear loud music, they will just come and, you know, they will disturb me. So let me just wear my headphones. And I love listening to these songs by UCZ. You know, with their drums and you can dance. And there's this particular song, Mweba Nsakamana, the one who cares for me. Nangwa mavimbiye seshani, no matter what storms come, tamushaneka, you never leave me alone. Mulankosele shamwelesa, you strengthen me. Bidyomutima wa fininwa, when my heart is heavy, Yahweh mulampalama, you come near to me. You're always with me because that is his promise. And you know what? I didn't even draw the blinds. We were on the 16th floor. It was now in the night. And I didn't care because, when you go to Bombay, there are all these tall buildings and there are residential buildings around. And I said, whoever sees me, it's okay. And boy, didn't I dance. I just put on my dancing shoes and just began to worship God. My husband came out around midnight. He didn't even go to ICU. He didn't need to go to ICU. I was just so thankful. You know, I can stand here and tell you so many things that God has done for us. But you know, as I close, I just want to say this to you. 2 things as I close. Always remember, God loves you, my sister, no matter the trial. No matter the hard time, no matter the storm that comes your way, you are his beloved. Sister Miriam, who loves saying that. Every time she greets you, beloved, how are you? Oh, keep it up, my sister. I love that. You are God's beloved. He loves you, my sister, no matter what. Do not let the devil use challenges to interpret the love of God. Because many times that's what we do. What did the disciples do when they were in the boat with Jesus and the storm arose? The first thing they ask is, don't you care? Don't you care that we are perishing? Most of the times when we're going through tough times, we want to ask God, where are you? Don't you care? He cares for you. There's a hymn that is a question. Does Jesus care? I love the chorus. Oh yes, he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. He cares for you. Jeremiah 31 verse 3 says, the Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. The love of God. There is nothing as powerful as the love of God. Be established in the love of God. You know, when you know how much God loves you, you will begin to love yourself. You will not go and just sleep around with anybody. You know what? And it's so disrespectful. You're disrespecting yourself, my sister. You need to stop it. That wayward life is not worth it. Amen. Amen. Psalms 121, remember, he never sleeps, he never slumbers. He's always watching over you. There are many times I'll just feel this loneliness. Like you're alone, and he always would whisper, I'm here, I'm right here, I'm with you. I haven't abandoned you, I'm just right here with you. The second thing is the power of the Word of God. Do you know the Word of God? You know, the Word of God brings comfort. It brings encouragement. Psalms 119 verse 28 says, my life's strength melts away with grief and sadness. Come, strengthen me and encourage me with your words. Spend time in the Word, my sister. We are living in times when things are just getting harder and harder. If you don't have the Word of God in you, what else are you going to bring out? Apart from doubt, fear will overwhelm you. Fear can come. But what does the Bible say? Perfect love casts out fear. Do you know those scriptures? When things are so tough, you can say, it doesn't matter what I'm going through. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For I know that you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You know, David in Psalm says, your word have I hidden in my heart, that I may not sin against you. What word have you hidden in your heart? What word have you hidden in your heart? God says he loves you. You are living in fear. He says, fear not, for I am with you. There's someone, you may be here and you have so much fear, anxiety, so much fear. He says, fear not, I am with you. Don't be dismayed. I am your God. And he's not only your God, he's your heavenly Father who loves you. I will help you. Help comes from him. Help comes from him. I will strengthen you. You need strength, he will strengthen you. You are tired. You've gone through so much. He says, come unto me, you who are weary, and I'll give you rest. I will give you rest. You want to rest. The rest is in the Lord. Nothing else. These things that we like chasing after, that's not where we find our comfort and our rest. God loves you, my sister. I wanted just to encourage you today. You're facing something that is so tough. You're going through difficult times. He says, I am here for you. I am here, not only with you, but I'm here for you. He said, I am the keeper of Israel. I heard some preacher say that is a language of responsibility. He's a God of responsibility. If he says, I am your keeper, he will keep you. He will watch over you. But the problem that we have is we always want to jump out of the presence of the Lord and go our own way. Let's change our ways. Let's look to the Lord. Let's lean into the Lord, no matter what you're going through.
Get hold of the word of God. Know how much he loves you. Know how much he cares about you. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word, oh God. Thank you for encouraging us this afternoon and reminding us once again of how much you love us. Thank you for your care, Lord. That no matter what we go through, Lord, you promise you never leave us nor forsake us. You always be with us, Father. I want to pray for my sisters right now who may be going through some very tough times in their lives right now. I may not know what they're going through, but you do, Lord. May you encourage them even through this conference, Father. May you remind them how much you care for them. We heard this morning that you deliberately, when you were creating man, you said, "Let us make man in our image. We are created in your image. We are yours. We belong to you." Thank you so much, Father, for your love. I pray for those, Lord, who are going through so much sorrow, pain, grief. Lord, you promise that you are the Father of all comfort. May they find comfort in you, Father. Those who don't know what to do, Lord, may they find answers in you, Lord, as they look to you. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We honor you, Lord. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.